Well, good morning and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. Come on, somebody shout with me. He is risen. Come on, shout it again. He is risen. Absolutely. Listen, the death, the crucifixion, the scourging, the burial of the Lord Jesus would have meant nothing without this resurrection. This resurrection is the game-changing moment for all of humanity. And today, everyone pauses. We're pausing with countless of churches all across the world, not only now present, watch this, but in history of celebrating God's amazing love on display in this day, where Jesus now defeated death, hell, and the grave, and got up with all power in his hands. And just like what we were singing, because he got up, watch this, we can get up again too. And maybe you have experienced a fall in your life like myself, but watch this. But when you are with God, come on, because he got up, you can get up too. Come on, tell that person right there around you, next to you, close by you, said, because he got up, I can get up too. Absolutely, God is amazing. He's wonderful. Lord God, we bless you on this day and every day. Would you all also just help me, please, put your hands together for our worship arts team. They did a tremendous job with the dance, the spoken word. That was Jermaine Harris on the spoken word. And the dancers, they did a tremendous job. That was led by Ashanti Ferguson. They did some wonderful things. There were a lot of other individuals too behind the scenes that you just didn't see on camera that were making that happen. They were out recording that, you know, at the beach, and they did a tremendous job just celebrating our resurrected King. Praise God. So thank you all so much. Let me remind you too of what you heard just during offering time. This is Legacy Sunday. So this is one of those Sundays out of the year that we set aside to just bring something special unto Almighty God as a gift of thanks to say, you know what? Thank you so much for dying for me. Thank you so much for going to the grave for me. Thank you so much for resurrecting, you know, for me, praise God. And we take that gift and we apply it to different things where we can bless our community, praise God. We can indeed bring hope, we can bring health, but most importantly, we can bring Christ to our city, praise God. So definitely want to encourage you to get in on that. In order to do so, make sure that you designate your gift legacy. So in the offering envelope, just write legacy down there where it says gift for. If you're doing it online, you'll notice there that there's an option that you can select. When you select the fund, just select legacy, and the monies will go towards that effort as we just continue to love on our city and bless those around us. That's why God has called us here. God has called us to bless others. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Come on now, you have been blessed to be a blessing. I've been blessed to be a blessing. So we want to take what God has blessed us with and help bless some others. Do not forget, please, this Wednesday is our first Wednesday. Have my friend Dr. Gary Kobach that's going to be ministering to us, praise God. Going to be a tremendous time. You don't want to miss it. That's online only, though, at 7 p.m. this Wednesday, praise God. All right, glory. Are you ready to get into some good stuff here this morning? All right, that was this side. Let me check on this side. Are you ready to get in on some good stuff this morning? Let me check with my folks that's online. Are you ready to get in on some good stuff this morning? Yeah. Oh, y'all responded too, huh? That was for the folks online. Amen. Father, we bless you. Thank you so much again for this day that you've given us to be able to celebrate your resurrected son, to celebrate your amazing love that's been on display for us. Help us in these next few moments, Father, to see you better, to experience your love greater. And yes, and to represent it, Father, in this world that we live in, the way that you've called us unto. We give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout glory. Glory. Come on, high five somebody there around you. Go ahead, give them a high five. You can do a fake one. Don't touch them, though. Don't touch them. You know we're still in a pandemic. Come on, just, you know, one of them kind of things. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Listen, love is probably one of the most underrated things in our society. Individuals don't really understand the real force and power of love. Now, God defines love this way. It's himself. Love is God. God is love. You get no more powerful, no more expressive, no more forceful than Almighty God. God is love. And when we think about it, from a human standpoint, love is one of those things that make people do some crazy stuff. Come on, you might as well go ahead and nod your head on the Easter Sunday. It'll make you do some desperate things because of love. In Amazing, we've seen stories where now, you know, a child, you know, gets trapped under a car and the parent comes in and a surge of adrenaline and force hits their body and they lift the car just enough to get the child out. How is that possible? Because of love. Love will make you do some stuff. I remember two days before, I was going to be able to marry my bride. We got married on July 28th, 2001. July 26th, I was still working, and I was working in Jacksonville, Florida. We were getting married in Detroit, Michigan, so I'm still working. And I was supposed to get wrapped up about noon because, actually, let me back this up. That was July 27th, Wednesday, because I was supposed to wrap up about noon because I had a flight to catch at 7 a.m., but it was down in Miami, down here. So I already knew I needed to wrap up, get some rest, because I was going to need to drive, you know, down so I could catch that flight. And so I'm debating whether I'm going to leave early enough, you know, so that I can just get a hotel, you know, get some sleep and get up in the morning, go to the airport. Well, somehow, some way, things just kept happening on that day. And before I knew it, I didn't get home until about 9 o'clock that night. And my flight was at 7, and I'm 5 hours away on a drive, and I'm already tired. And I'm just like, okay, now what can I do here? Can I catch a flight from Jacksonville down to, that's going to defeat the whole purpose of even while I was driving down there. I need to drive down there. I need to leave the car down there. I got to drive. Do I get a nap in or something real quick and try to push it? It didn't quite happen. So I decided, you know, with some encouragement, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take a shower, see if that refreshes me and gets me going. That was the wrong thing to do, because once I did that, I really wanted to go to sleep then. So finally, about 11:30 that night, I got on the road, and I'm driving down, you know, to South Florida, and I'm talking to my bride on the phone pretty much for most of the way. She's trying to keep me awake because it was rough. You know how it is when you drive and you get sleepy and you start seeing animals run across the road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it was getting bad. I was like, oh, my goodness. And finally, I think I made it about, oh, boy, must have been about 4:30 in the morning. I made it, you know, a pretty good distance. And I was somewhere just south of West Palm Beach. And I just couldn't make it anymore. I said, well, it's 4:30. Flight's at 7. I tell you what, I'm just going to pull over here and get about 30 minutes of sleep. Pulled over, and how many of you know that was a bad decision? I pulled over, and I'm at the little convenience store, and I'm knocked out. And thankfully, nothing but the grace of God, this young lady comes out of the store that's working in there. Her manager, him, told her to go out there and tell him, you can't be out there sleeping. I didn't understand that. How come he didn't come out? He sent the woman out there. But that's a whole other issue. She woke me up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I looked at it. It was like 5:15 going on 5, well, closer to 5:30. I'm like, oh, my Lord. So I get in. Boom. I'm like, thank you so much. Take off. I'll get right back down on 95. I'm trying to get to the airport. And sure enough, it was already rush hour happening once I got down here. I said, where are these people? What are they doing? Go to bed. Bumper to bumper. So I'm praying, so forth, trying to make sure I can catch this flight, watch this, because I love this woman. I'm willing to put my life, you know, at risk. Like, I got to get there. I can't miss the flight. Now, watch this. If I had missed the flight, what would have happened? I would have caught another flight. Would have cost, you know, some more money. But I didn't want to create the sense of, you know, kind of disappointment or whatnot. It's like, no, this is the time I said. This is the time I'm going to be there. Love will make you really put some things on the line. Just to tell you the end of that story, you know, I made it, had to park, you know, the car and so forth. Some of y'all remember, y'all old enough to remember OJ and them Hertz commercials running through the airport. OJ had nothing on me on that day. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was stiff-arming people, jumping over kids. I was doing all kind of stuff. Ran there, and I think I went to the wrong gate at first. And the flight's like 7:10, so I go to the wrong gate. I get to the wrong gate at 6:55. Now, how many of you know they ain't already closed the doors? They're ready to go. And I said, no, wait a minute. Oh, we changed the gate. That's what happened. We changed the gate. It's down on the other end. I said, well, tell them to hold that plane. Well, they probably already closed the door. You tell them to hold that plane. took off running, praise God. I'm all out of breath. And thankfully, just by the grace of God, they were like, we held it just for you. The woman was just right there. It's like, now you know you're wrong. That's how I think what she said to me. She said, you know you're wrong. I said, yeah, you're right, but thank you so much for holding this plane. Now, let me in. Let me in here. Made it in there, praise God, and got on there, and I absolutely just went to sleep until I got to Michigan. But love, my point here is, will cause you to do some extraordinary things for the people that we love. And certainly, that's what we've seen in the force of God's presence when we start talking about celebrating Easter. The thing that I love about this, well, resurrection is concerned of Jesus. It was really not the Romans who crucified and killed Jesus. It really was not the Jews, you know, and the religious, you know, leaders of the day. Yes, those are the individuals that were the instruments, but at the behind the scenes on all this was someone else really at play. And it was really Almighty God. One scripture, we read it this morning during our dream team in Isaiah chapter 53, talks about the fact that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God says, I'm pleased to do this. I'm pleased to execute this because I need to make sure that my love is available for everyone. So if that means now you have to bear the sacrifice, you have to bear the punishment so that everyone else can get the reward, God says, I'm pleased to do that. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10. He says, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. Not these Romans, not these Pharisees, high priest or whatever. He says, I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also, watch this, the authority and power to take it up again. But this is what my Father has commanded, praise God. Oh, yeah. No one would have been able to crucify and kill the Son of God unless it was just a part of God's plan. Because, watch this, how much he loves you, how much he loves me. Keep this in mind. I'm going to just give you a few points on this morning. Number one is this. There can only be one king in your life. Only one. Come on, someone say, only one. Here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 to 42, let me read this for you. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he tasted it, he refused to drink it because it was something that was designed to deaden the pain. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to take the full force of this. I don't need anything that's going to soften this. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read this, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So, he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe in him." Oh my. Of course, before the resurrection can take place, we have to always reflect on his death and his crucifixion. The accusation that they charged him with is that he was declaring himself to be another king. Now, that was a treasonous act. Roman Empire ruled that entire, you know, land, and they would put up pretty much like a vassal king to represent their interest in the area. And in that area, it was King Herod. And even before that, he had a predecessor who had learned, of course, of the birth of this baby that would become king. And remember now, tried to get the wise men to tell him where this child was so that he could kill him. There's always going to be a confrontation when there's two people trying to be on the throne. It's always going to create chaos. One is going to try to harm the other. And here we see a particular case where Jesus lays everything down on our behalf, and he becomes the resurrected king. Now, interesting enough, though, Just like Herod had issues with Jesus being king, that hasn't gone away. That whole spirit, that whole challenge is something that's still present today. Individuals not willing to embrace him as king. Some will embrace him as savior. Many will embrace him as a teacher. Others will embrace him as a prophet. But few will embrace him as king. There can only be one king. As a matter of fact, here, let me take this young man here. Aiden Dominic Crawford. Come on. Quick. Come on, use some speed. Now, this is my oldest son. Actually, my oldest twin son, I should say. It's my second son. We have four kids. So now, he's 12 years old. Good-looking young man, isn't he? Come on. There you go. All right. Now, this young man is at an age now where he has to make a decision. All of us have crossed this threshold at some point. And the threshold and question that has to be answered is this: who's going to be on the throne of my life? All of us have this. All of us have this in our life right here. We have this throne that is set up. Now, it's designed clearly for Almighty God. But he has a choice, though. Go ahead, grab a couple of those balls for me. He has a choice where he doesn't have to put Jesus on the throne. As a matter of fact, it can be sports. Basketball, volleyball, football, whatever the case may be. May be the thing now that runs his life. Watch this. All critical decisions are made according to what's in the best interest of my sports activities and career. Now, you know, we live in a society today that is morphed into this huge. People will up and move across the world to go to a school to give their child an opportunity to become a professional, this, that, or the other. When that happens, let's be clear, we're making this what's sitting on the throne. Well, maybe this is not the case. Here we go. Hand me that instrument there. Hope y'all got hands. Yes, here we go. So now maybe it's not, you know, the sports. Maybe it is the arts. Oh, I love the expression of the arts. Music, dance, spoken word. And now every decision is made in life centered around how does it help me in my arts endeavor and career. You got a choice. He has a choice now. Just like the choices that you and I have every single day. Or maybe not that. Here, let's switch out for that other bag. Now, here's a particular bag. We'll just say this is a bag of absolute filled with nothing but C-A-S-H. Cash, baby. Huh? Or as Randy Moss would say, you know, cash, homie. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Straight cash, yes. So now here's a situation here that you got, you know, the opportunity for watch this, money on top of money on top of money, suitcases full of it. We're not talking about full of singles. We're talking about the Benjamins. And what happens? Individuals make decisions in their life based upon how does it impact my money. And when you do that, there is a new king on the throne. Or, you can put that one down. Thank you, sir. Or maybe it's not even a specific item or idol that we put up there. Maybe it just simply is ourselves. I make my decisions now based upon what makes me happy, what fulfills my purpose, what satisfies me. Once that happens, there's a new king on the throne. But there can only be one king. And that's what this resurrection is all about. There's just one king, and this throne was not designed for anyone else. It fits him perfectly. All the rest of us were sitting on it like misfits. It just doesn't quite fit. as much as we try to make it, as much as we try to convince others that it does. So at the end of the day, what should always be on the throne is just simply the King. Let the King reign. But listen, that's a choice you have to make every day. Because you can very easily slip up one day and snatch this crown right off the throne and put yourself right there. And that's why it's good that you have people around you that love you. Because sometimes people can look up and recognize, oh, you made a switcheroo. Hey, let me help you. Get yourself back off of the throne of your life. And let's get Jesus back in there. Can the church say amen? Thank you, big fella. Great job. Come on, give him a hand, please. There can only be one King. Now, I love the second part of this verse that we read there in Matthew chapter 27. The latter part of it says, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. And then the very last part says, let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe in him. Here's the second point I want you to lock in on. Direct your faith in his love, not your fulfillment. Direct your faith in his love, not your fulfillment. Here it is. They're just like, all right, well, if you're really the Son of God, come on down from the cross. You come down from the cross, then we'll believe you. So watch this. It was salvation on their terms. Their focus now is fit on their fulfillment. Well, if you're really that, then this is what you need to do. And now how many individuals now, you know, right now, you may be watching me, you may be present, you know, in here. You've had one of those experiences like, well, if God was really God, how did he let my mama die? If he was really God, then that wouldn't have happened. Listen, this is not on your terms or my terms. This is not centered around your fulfillment or my fulfillment. This is centered around his. Around his. And what they were trying to do is the same thing we wind up doing today, trying to make God fit in our box and say, you know what? If you're really God, then this is what you have to do for me. And if you do that, then I'll believe you. And God says, no. Set your faith in my love. What they didn't understand is that it wasn't about Jesus' ability to avoid the crucifixion and the cross. It was about his ability to overcome the death that crucifixion was going to produce. He was able now to rise from the grave. See, it wasn't about that, the fact that he would come down from the cross. Or it's not about the fact that, you know, did he heal your mother or heal your grandmother or pay your bill when you need it. It's not about that. It's about the fact that he came up from the grave so that not just you, but all humanity could enjoy the freedom that God purchased for us to have and designed for us to have before the very foundations of the world. Someone say, thank you, Lord. Absolutely. Now, you know, anytime you talk about Easter and Resurrection Day, I love to talk about the disciples and those that followed Jesus. Because during that particular time, they were no different than men and women today. A lot of times we look at it and read and think, wow, they were amazing. Yeah, they were amazing just like you're amazing, but they had issues just like you and I got issues. And when Jesus gets crucified, they are running for the hills. Listen, they don't believe it. They don't believe that he's going to be resurrected. They don't believe now that he's somehow going to win. They think it is over. Man, we just wasted 3 years of our life. Can you believe this? We've been running around with this guy, and now he's dead. They're absolutely petrified, so much so that John tells us this in chapter 20, verse 19. He says, that Sunday evening, this is after Jesus had resurrected, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, why would you be afraid if your man had resurrected from the grave? Come on, I mean, why would you be afraid now if your champion is up ruling? Well, they're afraid because they don't believe that. They don't embrace that. So they're afraid now that the Jewish leaders are going to get them too. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you. One of the things that I want to just make sure I appeal to everyone on is the fact that Jesus' resurrection is a historical documented fact. It's not a Sunday school story. It's not just a little Bible story. You know, one particular professor of ancient history kind of shares it this way. He says, there's more evidence to Jesus' resurrection than we have of different things that happened just 50 years ago. There's evidence, there's so many eyewitnesses, hundreds of eyewitnesses of him now resurrecting, you know, from the grave. So this is not something that we just kind of lean into as a fairy tale. This is historical evidence. Watch this. This is scientific, empirical evidence that we hold to that he is alive and well. Never lose sight of that. And never let anyone discourage you from that. The thing I love, you know, too, just about, you know, the disciples, though, because they made a shift. Come on, someone say shift. Yeah. At some point in time, you got to make a shift to get him on the throne. They made a shift. And they made this shift, and I'm going to read this for you. It should show up on the screen for you. Some may die for what they believe in, but these men and women put their lives on the line for what they were convinced of because they saw him. They were restored by him, and they received of his presence. No one dies for what they doubt, only for what they are utterly convinced of. Come on now, Peter, James, these disciples now, they came to a point after they made a shift, they were putting their lives on the line. You don't put your life on the line for something you ain't sure about. Come on now, some of y'all know, seen that commercial, you know, that Tracy, you know, Morgan commercial, I think it's a quick and long thing. He's like, you know, are you sure? He's like, well, we're sort of. What's the difference? He said, oh, let me show you the difference. Yeah, honey, gets out there with a bear and be like, I'm pretty sure you don't run. And he takes off running. Has some little poisonous plants. He's like, I'm pretty sure, you know, that these are not poisonous. And the guy in the background is eating one. He falls dead. There's a difference between pretty sure and being utterly convinced. See, they weren't pretty sure. They weren't hoping for something. Listen, they weren't believing. They knew it. They knew it. They were utterly convinced. This is real. This is truth. And I submit unto you, that's the same shift that Almighty God is calling you and I unto today. Now, this is real. This is truth. Come on, I order my life around the one who sits on the throne of my heart. Third point is this, very quickly. Never forget that love conquered death, defeated it once and for all. John chapter 20, verse 24 to 27 says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. Now, this is how he replied. And you know what? I might have replied the same way. He replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. So Thomas said, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say. Unless I see it myself, I ain't believing. Come on now. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. See, but when you see it, that's when you really believe it. But then here it is this. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said directly to Thomas, come on, man, put your finger right here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Do what? Believe. He says, okay, you need some proof. Okay, I'm going to give you some proof. And I'm going to give you the exact proof that you asked for. Come on, you can put your fingers into the marks in my hands. Come on, you can stick your hand into my side where I was pierced. Because I want you to know that you know that you know that I am alive and well. And I did all of this for you. Oh, and from that moment, Thomas is no longer a doubter. Now, the question is we have to ask is, where are we? There was this artist. 19th century artist. His name was Paul Doré, Paul Gustave Doré. And so he's a great artist, you know, draws and, you know, paints and various things. And so he's traveling through Europe, you know, one day, but in the process of his traveling, he lost his passport, lost his documents. So he's getting there, and he's trying to cross the border, and they're saying, well, we need to see the documentation. And he's just like, I know you probably hear this a lot, but I lost it, you know, but I am. This is who I am. So he mentions his name, hoping that they will recognize him. And they're just like, uh-huh. He says, well, you know, there's a whole lot of people that always try to cross these borders acting like they're somebody else. He says, no, really. I am Paul, you know, Dore. I am a well-known artist. I hope you've heard of me. They said, okay, if you really are, you know, this, you know, renowned artist, you're going to have to prove it. So they gave him some paper and pencil. It says, we want you to go ahead and sketch, you know, just pick any people you see around. Let's see your skills if you really are who you say you are. He immediately takes that pencil and paper and goes to work. He does it so fast and with such accuracy and detail, they are blown away. The work that he produced proved exactly who he was. Well, I need you to understand, the work that Jesus has produced, it proves exactly who he is. That he and he alone is king. There has been no one else that has defeated death. Ladies and gentlemen, other than Jesus, listen, other than Jesus, death is undefeated. Everyone that you know of and everyone that I know of at some point in time has passed or will pass. Death is undefeated. Now, Jesus actually resurrected some individuals himself, just like Lazarus. But watch this. He did that. Lazarus didn't do that himself, because Lazarus couldn't do it himself. The only one who had the ability to defeat death has been the Son of Almighty God. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that work proves who he is, and therefore gives him the credentials to reign as king over our lives. There can only be one king. Someone say it with me. My king is Jesus. Oh, no question. Praise God. Last point is this that I want to just make sure you catch. And that is, love has to reign in us. Say it with me. Love reigns in me. Here in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, again, he's resurrected. And it says this. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the world. This is interesting to me, that one of Jesus' final instructions was for his followers to go into the world to make disciples. The word disciple there is a Greek term that literally just means a learner or a student. He says, number one, become a student. Come on, a lifelong student growing in revelation of who God is. He says, but don't only do that. If you're really going to allow love to reign in you, then you have to take now what you have received and start to give it to others. What God has done for your life and what God has done for my life is not a private matter. Now, I know we like to sometimes think that this is a private matter. No. God says, I did that for you, so that you could then share that with others of what I've done for you, so that they can see me in you. So for you to hold on to it, for you not to share, it says you're violating my rulership. I'm king. So every decision is made around what fulfills me, not what fulfills you. He says here, what fulfills me is that now you'll take what I've done in your life, and you will start to then transmit it to others. Transmit it to others. oh, you can't do that. You know, I don't want to hear about that religion. You know what? I'm glad you said that because I ain't got no religion to give you. But I got a wonderful relationship that you don't want to miss. Come on, everybody loves a good relationship. How would you like to have a relationship with someone who has unlimited wealth, unlimited health, unlimited peace, unlimited wisdom? Who wouldn't want to be in a relationship with somebody like that? Come on, all the ladies right there like that, that's the kind of man I'm talking about. Absolutely, praise God. We want to introduce them. And I know we live in a culture today where anything contrary to say someone, they say, well, you're judging me. No, this is not about judgment. This is about Jesus and his love for you. And watch this. And God loves you right where you are. Listen, you don't have to change a thing to be embraced by God. Nothing. You ain't got to change one thing to be embraced by God. God loves you right where you are. But listen, but he loves you too much to leave you right where you are too. He said, come on, come on, come on, lean into me. Lean into me. We got some renovation to do. Oh, and he's a master at it. But he never leaves off that way. He always just leaves off to say, hey, I just want to be connected with you. I love you. I did all of this for you. So be willing now to embrace our master and our king. Let me just end on this because I'm over time. I would dare say today there are two type of people that are present and are watching online right now. There are those present where you have never made a decision towards God, towards his son Jesus, to allow his love just to simply reign in your life. And maybe it's been because of the fact that you felt like, you know what, God hasn't responded to you on your terms. I get it. Maybe there's been something that's happened in your life and you're just like, how could, if God was real, how could he let that happen? Okay, I get it. But on this day, I'm inviting you to surrender all. I'm not inviting you into any kind of religion. I'm inviting you to surrender all and watch this and start to become a student for life. A student now that just simply wants to grow in revelation of God's love. So if that's you, you've never come to that place. You've never come to a place to say, I surrender all. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. So that's whether you're here in the auditorium or if you're right there online. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Everyone do this for me. Just bow your heads right there where you are, please. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness in our life. We open up our hearts unto you now to receive from you all that you have in store. All of you, sir, and none of us, that is our prayer. So our heads are still bowed, and eyes are closed in prayer. If that's you, you've never made a decision like that, a concrete decision that way. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. But do this for me while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, whether you're online or here in the auditorium. If you desire my prayers there, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are, even at home. Go ahead and lift up your hand high. Thank you. I see a hand there. See another hand there. Thank you so much for obeying God. Come on, online as well. You can lift it up. Oh, you can't see me. Yeah, but your good, good Father can. And he loves you. He wants to conduct some amazing things in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can put your hand down. So I see those hands. But this is what I want to do. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my King. Best thing in my life. Everyone, would you please, even at home, lift up two hands under heaven. That's the sign of surrender. Come on, hands up, y'all know. Say this out loud with me. Say, dear Father God. Oh, come on, say it strong. Say, dear Father God, thank you so much for your love. Today, I choose to allow it to reign. Thank you for giving me Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you. as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my king, as my everything. Thank you now for making me your own. Amen. Amen. That's a good place to rejoice right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody right there, rejoice. Come on. You can rejoice online. Put some hearts up. Throw some thumbs up. Come on. Somebody give God praise. Because he got up, we get up as well. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I congratulate those of you online, those of you present, for the decision that you've made today. I got a couple of things I want to share with you here in just a moment. But before I do that, let me address the second group of people that I recognize that are either present or you're online as well. And that's those who you've made the decision to trust in Jesus before, but you just kind of grown weary in the fight. You've kind of just gotten a little tired of obeying him. You've gotten worn out with yielding to his kingship. And you've kind of put yourself back on the throne. You kind of put some things on the throne. Well, no condemnation to you. There's none of that in Christ Jesus. God loves you. But he is saying, come on now. Let's do a shift again. Let's do a shift again. You come off and let me come on. Let me come back onto the throne. And listen, this is the message from God. He says, I'm a much better guide for your life than you could ever be. So learn to lean into me, and I will see to it that you have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So if that's you, you want to, what we would call, rededicate your life, make a fresh commitment to him today. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Come on in. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Right there at home too. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. You want to rededicate your life, make a fresh commitment. If that's you, let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are. And I'll be glad to pray for you and with you. Amen. Thank you. See the hands there? Amen. Thank you so much. Come on, at home as well. Come on, just lift them up high. Say, yeah, I want to get in on this. I'm putting Jesus back on the throne. Yeah, I had him there at one point, but I slipped up on some things. Amen. Amen. Tell you what, you can put your hands down here in the auditorium there, as well online. Let's be in agreement in prayer for this. Father, thank you so much that your love for us never changes. Despite what we may have done, even when we've made the decision consciously or sometimes unconsciously to remove you from the throne of our heart, Father, we repent from that. We change our mind now. And we make the decision that you and you alone shall reign in our lives, that love shall reign in all that we do. Thank you so much for embracing us, loving us, and always forgiving us. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you shout glory? Come on, somebody take 10 seconds just to honor God right there. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Hallelujah indeed. Praise God. Our God is amazing. Listen, there are three things now. You raise your hand for either one of those invitations here in the auditorium or, there. Online, there's three things, actually three things in a gift I want to present to you. Number one is this: let us know the decision that you made here today, especially those of you that are online, by just texting the word decided to 954-280-2076. You can do it online, you can do it for those of you are present as well. We just want to know so we can be praying for you and with you. We want to encourage you in your best life ever. Secondly, I want to encourage you to get on the growth track. I absolutely love the growth track. It's really a four-step immersion into the culture, the vision, the mission of Impact Church and some other things, just helping you to grow, in Almighty God. It happens just four steps. It's four steps that happen on four Sundays out of the month, first, second, and third, and fourth Sunday at 12 noon on Zoom. It lasts for about 30 minutes. So I would encourage you, if you want to get in on that, you can do so today. Even on Easter Sunday, we have it available. It will be at noon. Text the word now, GROW, to that same number, 954-280-2076. We'll send you the link for the Zoom so that you can be able to get in on that. And then thirdly, I want to encourage you, if you have never been water baptized since you believed, I want to encourage you to stop and see Minister Theo Owusu right over here as you're just exiting. to let us know that you'd like to get on the list for our next water baptism. We're going to have our first one of the year. You know, we had some things planned, you know, earlier, but with the pandemic, we just kind of held back. But, you know, now coming up here soon, we're going to do our first of the year. So if you've never been water baptized, listen, since you believe, since Jesus became, you know, the king, you know, on the throne, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you, and be sure to register for water baptism. So just see him as you're exiting. For those of you online, just send us a message, or you can just type it right there into the chat. You know, I'd like to be water baptized, and we'll contact you. We'll get you on the list as well. We don't want to miss anyone, because water baptism is extremely important to Almighty God. Very important. So you want to make sure you get in on this. Finally is this, for those of you that raised your hand, for either one of those decisions, I have a free gift for you. It's called A Fresh Start. It's a 7-day devotional that will bless your life and help you in the decision that you've made here today. Make it a permanent one in your life. So as you're exiting, just ask, you know, any of our leaders. They'll be glad to place one into your hand. It's absolutely free. For those of you that are online, if you text the word DECIDED to that number, then we'll send you out an electronic version of that so you can have it as well. So be sure to text that word DECIDED to 954-280-2076. Somebody tell me, is God good? We used to say it this way, God is good all the time. And all the time, you better believe it, some things never change. Praise God. Amen. We've gone a little bit over time. I do want to encourage this, though. Please stay with us. We have breakfast, you know, available, you know, out, you know, in the foyer area. So get some pancakes and so forth. I asked if they had grits. Nobody ordered any grits for me. Dear God, I like some grits. Some of y'all don't know anything about grits. But we got some food out there. So take some time to enjoy your breakfast with us. And then we're going to have another worship experience at 11. So for those of you online, let folks know, hey, you can still get here to the Regal Theater at 11 o'clock. Come on. Stand up on your feet with us. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this way today, since we're over time. Lift up two hands again unto heaven. Father, may your blessing and your anointing and grace rest mightily upon every family that is present. May we all walk, Father, in the constant awareness that it's your love that makes the difference, and making the constant decision to let your love reign. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Easter. Have an amazing week. Glory!